clerk, could you please stand and raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you will give before this governor and council will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, submitted under the pains and penalties of perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Byrd.
Thank you.
So the floor is yours if you wish to provide an opening statement prior to questions.
Somewhat unprepared for an opening statement. My thoughts on this are, I appreciate you greatly having this pardon hearing. I thank you for everything that you could possibly do at this point. I'm open for questions. Any questions you might have as to what happened that day, however you want to proceed.
Okay, thank you. So let's begin. Questions that you may have for Mr. Byrd.
Yeah.
Counsel Wazurek.
Mr. Byrd, when you were in court, you had an opportunity to testify on your own behalf.
Yes, I did.
And you didn't.
Correct.
Why didn't you do that?
At that point, when the prosecution rested, we had a discussion in out of the courtroom between myself and my attorney, Sisti. Felt that at that point, the testimony up until that point had not been something that needed to be, that I needed to refer to, that I needed to rebut. It was something where we felt that it wasn't necessary for me to take the stand.
As you reflect now that everything has gone by,
yes.
You think you should have done
yes.
something in your own behalf?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What would you have said?
Exactly what I would have told my story, which is, if you would like to hear it, what happened that day.
That's why we're here.
Yep. I was recovering from a severe trauma. I was in my own house. I had 9 days prior just been released from Maine Medical Center.
9 days before?
9 days before. I had spent 6 days in Maine Medical in intensive care for a abdominal injury where I basically ripped my arteries out of my intestines. I had fallen in a cellar hole, and I at the time had over 200 stitches in my abdomen. I was trying to recover from that. Under doctor's orders, I was resting, trying to relax, trying to not to stress myself too much. And on that day that this occurred, the my goal was to be healing, to be home and healing. A phone call late in the afternoon from my niece, Laura Heald, stating that a woman driving a green Ford Ranger pickup truck was in the area, that she was suspicious of her, that she felt she was acting somewhat strangely. I received a phone call late in the afternoon at the point where I was just getting ready to take a nap, actually. Soon thereafter, I observed a green Ford Ranger pickup driving up my driveway through my library windows, which face south. That pickup truck drove past my house, which I found was odd. Because we had always in the past, anyone that is a stranger to my home, anyone that has been up there, has not been up there prior to that point, has always driven up in front of my home, up to my basement area. This person drove right past that basement area and up around past the back of my house and drove in just like they'd been there before, which I found was very strange. Or I thought it was strange at the time. That did make me somewhat suspicious. I went into my bedroom, retrieved my firearm from my gun safe, and put it behind my belt, behind my back, in in the back area behind my back. As I observed from my mudroom window through my door, the person parked the truck, backed in to a parking spot just like they had practiced it before, which I found, also thought was odd. And a woman exited the vehicle, at which point I opened my mudroom door and went out on my back porch. She walked towards me. She was wearing a red pantsuit, bright red leather. Later, I found out that she had identified herself as Christine Harris. At the time, I didn't know who she was. I didn't have a clue as to who she was. She came towards me, came towards the porch, and as she did so, she started asking me questions, which I wasn't interested in answering questions that day. I was trying to recover. I was not having a good time with my injury. She started asking me questions. I immediately told her to leave my property. And I repeated that numerous times to her, that she was trespassing, that she needed to leave immediately, that I wasn't interested in talking with her or answering her questions. She basically ignored me and kept talking to me or trying to ask me questions, which I wasn't interested at the time in answering. At that point, as she kept talking, I raised my voice and I started using profanity. I shouted profanities at her to get her to leave my property in no uncertain terms. After a while of that, she did turn and walk back towards her truck. And as she walked towards her truck, I walked along my porch. She was walking this way and I was walking across the porch. She did re-enter her vehicle. And as she sat down in her truck, she was facing directly across, maybe 45, 50 feet away from me. She looked at me through the windshield of her truck, and she mouthed the words, F you, to me. At which point, I said to her, because I was still using profanity at the time, don't you say F you to me on my own property. I'm calling the police. I turned. I removed my firearm from behind my back as I was turning. The gun was pointed at the ground. As I turned, she was right in front of me. I turned, I removed the firearm, I dropped the magazine out of it, I opened the chamber to make sure it was clear, which it was perfectly safe the whole time. And I re-entered my home and I called the police about a trespasser.
Was she in her truck when you did this?
Yes, she was.
She was in her truck?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you said you were 9 days in the hospital.
No, 6 days in the
hospital. 6 days in
the
hospital.
I've been out for 9 days.
Now, how long were you home?
9 days.
You were home 9 days. And as I recall, we've been inundated with information here, so, you know, it's a lot of the stuff that I read, so it might seem a little disjointed, too. But I understand that you had a big incision.
I have a large incision running from below my belly button up to just underneath my breastplate.
And that had how many stitches?
That was approximately exterior stitches, I think 32 to 35.
And they were still in when you were out on your porch?
They were still in, and the interior stitches I had over 200 because they had to cut me right through all my mm-hmm. stomach muscles and everything. Yeah.
All right, now somewhere, one of these bits of testimony that I've seen, it indicated that you jumped off the porch. Now, were you able to jump off a porch with all those stitches in you?
Not at all.
So then we get a little bit of conflicting information. You know, some
Apparently.
Of you do, some of you say I don't. So I would advise you to listen very carefully to what is going to be said here today and be prepared to defend yourself when it's your turn to rebut anything that you're going to have here.
I understand
so I'd have
that.
Somebody keep track of this for you.
I understand that.
So as far as the firearm is concerned, did you ever point it at her?
Negative. No, I did not.
Never pointed at her?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. Go on. Next.
Anyway. Okay, you can go back. Counselor St. Hilaire.
Thank you. You said she was asking you questions.
Yes.
What kind of questions?
She started asking me who I was. and I wasn't interested in, I was on my own property, I just wasn't interested in answering, telling a complete stranger who I was, or answering any of her questions. My first thing I said was, you're trespassing, you must leave now.
Anything else?
She asked me, she was saying something about property for sale.
Some of the evidence, or not evidence, but whatever the materials were that was sent to the councilors.
Yes.
I was under the impression that the phone call you got told you that there would be somebody coming up looking at property.
No, I got a phone call from my niece stating that she was suspicious of a person that was looking in her windows, actually. Not necessarily looking at property, she was looking for a, she at the time was apparently looking for a piece of property at her, at my brother-in-law's place.
Which is somewhere near your home?
Yeah, fairly close by, yeah.
All right. So you hadn't gotten any calls that people were looking for property at the time?
Yes, I got a phone call that actually she had called the night before, Christine Harris. She actually identified herself as Christine Lambert.
So you did get a call about somebody who was looking for property?
Yes.
But that was the night before?
Yes.
What did that call entail?
It was very brief. It wasn't myself. It was my wife that got the call. Person identified herself as Christine Lambert and asked if we had property for sale. The answer was negative, and that was basically the end of it, I believe.
I'm okay for now.
Okay. Councilor Wheeler.
Thank you, Governor. Ward, do you recognize that picture of you?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell me about when it was taken?
That was probably taken, let me see.
Is that at the hospital?
No,
at
this
home?
Isn't, this is...
If you know.
And I don't really know. I'm trying to recognize the pillows. I believe that was at home, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. And another question, Governor?
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the firearm.
Yes.
Why did you choose to clear the firearm and...
That is safe. That makes a safe firearm. I never re-enter my home. That's just par for the course for me.
So it's your rule at home not to have a loaded firearm in
Correct.
The house? Okay. Regarding some of the alleged disputes with your, is it brother-in-law, sister-in-law, or Lianos?
Yes.
And
yes.
It was said, I did a lot of reading, read a lot of the court transcripts. It was said that, or it seemed to be alleged that you went to the realtor's office to try to devalue the neighbor's property.
That's incorrect. We tried to straighten out some there were not, it wasn't to devalue the property. It was to make sure that the information on the sales was correct. We noticed some discrepancies on that.
Do you remember what the discrepancies
I don't write offhand, no.
on the listing sheet were?
I don't.
Okay. As while this property was being sold, did you contract with a surveyor to do work for
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
And what did they do?
They surveyed the boundary line between the piece of property that was being sold and ourselves, where it was in not in question, but was not well marked.
Did the surveyors mark the property line
yes,
between
they
you
did.
And the property for sale?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And did someone remove those markers?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Is there a quarry on the property that's for sale?
No.
Can
There's
you
surface stone, which is being picked off the property,
okay,
but it's not a quarry per se.
And at some point, did the property owners who were selling the property pick stones off of your property?
No. There was some picking being done up at the top.
Okay.
And this would have been while my brother-in-law was still alive, Christopher was still alive.
Oh.
There were some stones picked off the property. That was something that was years ago before this occurred while Christopher was still alive. And we straightened that out a long time ago. But as far as I know, since then, there had been no real crossing of the line at that point.
I have the mental picture in my head, and tell me if this is correct, that perhaps there's a gravel road that leads to your property and the property that was for sale, and there might be like a fork in the property, and you have to go one way for this for sale and straight to yours?
Yeah, it's a direct left-hand turn with a bridge, well-marked.
Okay, and the bridge is your bridge, or?
No, the bridge is, it is on our property. I don't consider it our bridge, we don't maintain it. It was a bridge that my brother-in-law and myself agreed upon, an area where it crosses a fairly steep part of the wash or the intermittent stream. It was the best place to place the bridge, and it just happened to be, end up on our property, abutting his property, so one side is on ours and one side was on his.
So what was the issue about moving the gate that's near the bridge?
The gate was on, at the time, the gate was on the side, on our side of the bridge, which was on our property. At the point when we decided that it needed to be moved was when it was going to be sold to, this was originally put up by my brother-in-law when they owned the property and wanted to retain the ownership of such. When it was being put up for sale, we decided it would be best if they moved it onto the other side of the bridge, so the gate, there would be no question as to whose gate and whose property the gate was. It was on the other side of the bridge on the other piece of property.
Going back to your medical condition on that day.
Yes.
You have a letter here from Hassan, apparently your doctor from Huggins Hospital.
Yes.
And he says that your surgery was 38 staples and over 250 stitches, and that narcotic pain medications in order to manage the pain. So
yes.
Were you still in a lot of pain on this day?
I was.
And you never left your deck that way that
no,
day?
I did
is that
not.
Your testimony? Okay. And you couldn't have, if you couldn't have jumped off if you wanted to?
I could not have.
You just stated that Christine Harris walked toward her vehicle?
Yes.
How far away from her vehicle did she get?
She was walking back towards her vehicle.
So how close to you did, or the porch did she
get? The porch, she was at one point, she was probably 15 feet away.
So would that be halfway between the vehicle and the porch?
Not quite. She walked some distance at an angle to the porch, you know, so it's, her truck was up here and she walked down and across, basically.
And then reading the testimony, I had some confusion about, and seeing the video of your driveway and your house,
mm-hmm.
Did you have a circle driveway that she came into, a turnaround?
It's a large parking area.
Yeah.
So she was able to pull up, which like I said, I thought was strange. She pulled up towards the porch and then backed up and parked just like when we normally park when we get home at night.
There was a lot of testimony regarding whether she backed up or not. Regular visitor just going around the circle, or were the cars in the way?
Regular visitor usually just pulls up and stops, doesn't back up, doesn't.
But how would they get out if they, when they?
Then they'd back up, turn towards my barn, my pole barn, and then pull back out and down the driveway. Okay.
I guess another thing that's unclear to me, from your point of view, exactly how long was Christine Harris there from the time you came out onto the porch till the time she left?
Between 3 and 4 minutes.
Okay. That's all I have for right now, Governor.
Okay. Yes, Councilor Sununu.
Just to expand a little bit on just the timeline of chain of events, you said she was there for about 3 or 4 minutes. How long between the time that she got out, between the time that you brandished the weapon?
I didn't brandish a weapon.
Did, when you pulled it out of your
was that the, she was sitting in her vehicle, so I would say about the 4 minute mark.
About the 4 minute mark. She got in the vehicle, and at which time you turned to go back in the house, obviously just unloading.
She was still facing me in the vehicle, looking mm-hmm. right at me when I turned, removed my firearm from behind my back, and took the magazine out and made sure the chamber was
and
clear.
And she clearly saw the weapon at that time?
I believe so.
And then you went back in the house and you called the police?
Yes, I did.
You called immediately, went back?
Yes, I did.
And called the police. How long before the at which time she drove off? She drove off of your property?
Yes, she did. She left immediately. Before the police showed up, is what you're asking?
Yeah, how long before?
I'm guessing a little bit, probably 25 minutes.
25 minutes?
Yeah.
And what happened then?
They asked me a few questions. One of the questions was whether I had a firearm, that they just had a complaint. And I said, well, I called you about a criminal trespasser. What about that? And they weren't really asking me about, they weren't talking about the trespass issue. They were asking me, he asked me if I had a firearm. And I answered yes.
So it was evident to you that Christine or someone else had filed had also called the police as well?
At that point, yes.
What happened then after you said yes?
Asked me a few questions. I said at one point, I believe I said, I believe I overreacted and I may owe her an apology, meaning the fact that I had raised my voice and used profanity.
Did were you placed under arrest there? Did the police?
No, not right away. No, it was much later that they actually arrested me.
When?
A day or so. Yeah.
They came back?
Yes. Yeah.
Did they ask any more questions prior to placing you under arrest, or was it just a?
Asked a few questions, but nothing over. Didn't ask me much, really.
And at the time they arrested you, what were they claiming that the charge was?
Reckless conduct was the original charge.
And you were only one charge at the time?
At that time, yes.
And you didn't make any other contact with Ms. Harris or anyone else concerning the matter between the time that the police left and the time they came back a day or so later? Did you talk to anyone else about what had happened, or?
Yeah, I believe I spoke with numerous people. I'm not sure. I can't say who.
Sure. When you, just to back up a little bit, when Ms. Heald had called you, your niece had called you prior to Ms. Harris showing up, you indicated that she told you that someone was looking at her windows, something
I believe
suspicious.
So, yes. Yeah. And this could be something that I could be reading more into that, but she was suspicious of her, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Councilor St. Hilaire.
Thank you. Mr. Byrd, going back to Councilor Wheeler's questions, you went into some realtors to discuss the property that was for sale?
Yes.
What, do you have an ownership interest in that property?
I had a first right of refusal on that piece of property.
What was your intention when you wanted to go in and talk about that piece of property?
Just to make sure that when they were, because my brother-in-law, Christopher, when he passed away, his hopes for that piece of property were great. He put a lot of himself into that, and I wanted to make sure that when they were selling it, that they were promoting it properly.
So did you want it sold, or
yes.
Did you not want it sold?
No, I wanted it sold.
What were your suggestions to promote this property then?
Well, to make sure that the information was correct, so that when people did come to see it, that they'd have the right information.
So Miss Harris presumably came to go look at the property.
I don't know that, what she was doing.
I thought you said you got a...
I got a phone call. I don't know what she was thinking.
Oh, you knew somebody was interested in the property the night prior.
I knew that someone was interested in a piece of property the night prior. They called us and asked if we had a piece of property to sale, and we said no.
But you were aware there was a property for sale next door to you?
Yes.
And so you never mentioned that even though you want that sold?
No. That wasn't up to, they had a realtor, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to deal with a realtor.
The medications you were on?
Yes.
What were those?
I believe there was Percocet and ibuprofen, I believe.
And were you taking that day?
No, I only take those at night because they made me, they didn't sit too well with me during the day, hurt like hell, but I they affected me, so I wasn't taking them during the daytimes.
About what time of day did this occur?
About 4 in the afternoon, somewhere in there. So just before bed is when I take them, so I could get some sleep.
When you went back to go in your house and pulled out the firearm from behind your belt?
Yes.
And you said the victim was able to see the
I believe firearm. So. I don't know for sure, but I believe so.
Right. Now, you knew what you were doing when you did that, correct? Because you're making sure the chamber was clear.
As I turned, I was making sure my chamber was clear. I was making sure that my magazine was out of my firearm before I reentered my home to call the police, yes.
Do you think another person there would be able to tell that that's what you were doing? Or would they misinterpret that or possibly misinterpret that for you just pulling it out?
I don't believe that they could have misinterpreted it. It was pointed at the ground in a safe manner. There was no, I gave it no thought as to whether she really saw it or not. And
you were asked one of the first questions about why you didn't testify.
Mm-hmm.
There, with the package of information we received a lot of information on the alleged victim, on you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it myself.
Okay. Was there some consideration as to some of your prior acts and run-ins with the police?
There may have been, but it had no bearing on this as far as I know.
Okay. Well, we have to make a decision, and we're looking at everything,
mm-hmm.
including what the committee sending us regarding the victim.
Okay.
And including the past reports we have from the police in our file.
Yes.
I presume the county attorney might say mm-hmm. something about this. So I'm asking you about, you know, did you want to discuss any of the
I will
prior
if you
acts?
Want to ask me questions, I will, yeah.
What was that a concern for you and that's why you decided not to testify, that might be brought
no,
up?
No, that didn't apply to that. What I said prior to this was why we didn't testify. I didn't think I needed to. I had made a statement to the police. They had that. The jury had that to read. That's what I had to say. I mean, I would have said the same thing.
You don't think it would have been helpful for the jury to hear your side of the story? You don't think your attorney might have counseled you to say, look, these are the potential harms if you take the stand. You've got a compelling story, but if you go up there, then you open the door to somebody asking
you
about
wasn't
the prior things.
In all honesty, there was no consideration to that. I mean, we had, at that point, listened to Christine Harris's testimony and didn't feel that it was necessary for me to take the stand.
Mr. Bird, I have a couple questions for you. You received a phone call stating that a woman may be coming up onto your property, right?
Yes.
What time did that call come in?
I'm going to guess a little bit at this. Around 4 o'clock.
Around 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then
and
how
it's
much...
It's been 5 years, so I'm...
Okay, no, I understand. But then how much after that time, when you received the call, did Ms. Harris show up?
Very soon thereafter. I would say within 7 minutes.
Okay, so within 7 minutes. So did you, in fact, believe that the woman who showed up on your property was, in fact, the woman who was referred to in the phone call you got 7 minutes
yes.
earlier? Okay. Did you feel physically threatened by Ms. Harris at all?
At the point, I was not comfortable with anybody being around. I mean, any stranger. I felt threatened because I know she'd been told not to come up there.
And what was the nature of the threat that you felt about her being on your property?
Just that I have, at the point, my physical condition. I didn't want any confrontations. I didn't want to have to deal with anybody at that point. So the threat is emotional, I guess, more than anything.
So you felt emotionally threatened by this woman coming up on your property to your door?
Yes.
And because you felt emotionally threatened, you thought it was important to get a gun to load it?
I did not load my firearm.
But when was the gun loaded?
The gun was never loaded.
Oh, it was never loaded. Even outside the house, it wasn't loaded?
No, the magazine was in it, but it was never loaded.
Okay. But you did feel like you needed to get a gun.
I always at the point that this occurred and never exited my house without a firearm on my person. Never. Prior to this event, in November of the year prior, my brother-in-law had taken a shot at me. That may be in some of his paperwork. If not, it should be. So I was never, after that, comfortable without a firearm on my person when I was outside of my home, not knowing where he was. It's very hard for me to talk about this part of this, but there were issues with my relatives that I was very concerned for their health, and they were not acting reasonably, let's say. They were not acting coherently. A lot of alcohol involved there.
So how long had it been going on for you that every time you left the house, for whatever reason, you
since
made
November
sure you had a gun?
Year, since at least November of the year before.
Okay, so this was over a year that every time you left the house, for whatever reason,
correct,
you would grab a gun. So
correct.
It was as much
it wasn't
a matter.
Grab it. It was more or less part of my attire.
Okay, so it was a matter of habit.
A matter of course, yes.
Okay. But again, the threat that you felt from Ms. Harris was more emotional,
yes,
I think, according to what
yes.
you're saying. Okay. Can you describe what happened in 2002 with the incident with the Moultonboro police and the unauthorized use of the firearm?
Yes. At that point, my brother-in-law had just passed away, Christopher. It was a barbecue in his honor, let's say. Numerous people were there, gathered. There was some partying going on. There was alcohol being consumed. The owner of the property at that point, at some point during that barbecue, thought it would be a good idea, and this is something that I would never have thought beyond that. He said it would be a good idea, thought it would be a good idea if we did some target practicing against a stump. And the stump in question had been used as a target numerous times before this incident. Obviously, it had a lot of bullet holes in it. I decided that it would be okay to do some target practicing. I believe that was a mistake. Apparently, a round went stray, crossed through some woods into a nearby home, went into the home. There were people in the house. The police were called. I don't know if they were called because of the gunfire, or if they were called because the bullet had gone into the home. The police showed up, started asking questions. I was not the only one firing that day. However, when the police did show up, and everyone else around me claimed to not have been shooting. I was very confused by this because I thought it was a safe place to shoot. At the time, I didn't know the ground had gone into a house. I immediately left that party when that happened. As the police were there, they were still there when I left, I believe, because I was not comfortable being around back liars. I returned to my house, and I had a long time to think about it. I thought about it overnight, and I called the police, and I said I was there and I was shooting. I didn't know if it was my round that went into that house or not, but I felt responsible. I took responsibility for my actions. That firearm was my responsibility.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Yes, Counsel Burton.
Prior to the incident that was, that is at hand today.
Yes.
Had you had visits from any state regulatory or permitting agency prior to this time? Not the local police or county police, but any state agencies ever visit your property for permitting purposes or violation of any permit that you might have?
Not to my knowledge, no. No.
Okay, Counselor.
You stated, even though you were checking your gun before going into your house,
yes.
It was not loaded.
Correct.
But you were checking to make sure.
Always do, yeah.
The magazine.
Magazine is a separate part of the firearm.
Okay. Was that in the gun?
It was in the gun, yes.
Was that loaded?
Yes.
Okay. So when you say your gun was not loaded, what you're saying
there was no round
there was
in the
no
chamber.
Round in the chamber.
There was no round
but
in the chamber.
You did have ammunition in the
I
gun.
I had ammunition in the magazine, yes. The firearm was not considered loaded because it's not around in the chamber.
Further questions? Yes.
So, Mr. Bird, in looking at your record here,
yes,
I'm looking at you had a court date of 8-2 in 85, and the charge was resisting arrest or detention.
Yes.
What was that?
I had a motorcycle accident, and when I crashed the motorcycle, that was the result of I crashed my motorcycle, severe injuries with that. That was the result of leaving basically the scene. The officer was trying to stop me.
That was 25 years ago.
Hmm? Yes, sir, it was. I've come a long way since then.
Yeah, you were single then?
No, I was married then.
You're married?
Yes.
All right, and then we had another one up here, and you were younger.
Yes, sir, I was.
In 1980.
Yes, 31 years ago.
Hmm?
30 years ago.
Yeah, and that was a controlled drug?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all you did is get fined?
Yes. I believe so. That's 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all it was.
All right, and let's see. Another one here somewhere. Oh, I'll pass for the time being, see if I can find it more. I got so many pages set.
While you're doing that, I'd like to follow up with Counselor St. Hilaire. You said when you came outside, the gun was not loaded?
Correct. There was no round in the chamber.
Right, no round in the chambers. How long would it have taken you to load the gun?
5 seconds, maybe.
Okay, so within seconds, you could have, because if...
Yes, I could have.
Okay. Because, and presumably, you took the gun with you when you left the house for protection, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Counsel Wheeler, did you have a follow-up?
Yes. Back to the emotional fear. Is it correct that Mr. Viano had a restraining order against him?
Against him, yes.
Yeah, okay. And was that restraining order in place the day Christine Harris showed up, or did that event happen after?
Do you believe know? It was. But don't quote me on that. I think it was.
I'm just trying to the dates on the document we have.
I'm not positive about that, no. But I believe it was.
Part of that restraining order and the issues with the neighbors was do you know, have knowledge of, was Mr. Viano fired from a job because of alcohol and drug problems or anything like that?
He had a really good plaster business at one time, and I don't want to get into that. I mean, he's I hope, I pray that he someday accomplishes his sobriety, but yes, I believe he had some problems with that, yes.
Okay, that's an issue. When back at the incident and the stump.
Yes.
You testified that after, you know, the police were called because a bullet went into a house, they came to the party.
Yes.
And were asking questions, and apparently no one else would fess up, and then you left. Did they know you left?
Yes, I believe so.
And you left freely?
Yes.
So you also testified that this was a drinking party?
Yes, there was.
And would they have let you left if they thought you were drunk? Were you drunk?
I was not drunk. I had been drinking, but I was not drunk.
Okay. So you left the party and drove home?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And they were aware of that. They were aware that I left.
Further questions for Mr. Byrd? Yes, Counselor Wazorek.
One more, and this one is, was the state of New Hampshire order on a motion to set aside the verdict. And from the earlier testimony about your condition and your physical condition after your surgery, the inability of you to jump off the porch and do anything.
Yes.
It's still in this item that I'm reading here.
Mm-hmm.
It said that you committed a crime of criminal threatening in that by your physical conduct, purposely attempted to place Christine Harris in fear of imminent bodily injury or physical contact by waving a .45 caliber handgun, a firearm and deadly weapon at Christine Harris while telling her to get off the property.
Mm-hmm.
You said in your earlier testimony, as I recall, that you had it in your back.
I did.
In your back.
The whole time.
You didn't take it out and point it at her?
Never did, no.
All right. Because, I mean, this seems to be a very important part of the testimony here.
It's a charge. It's a charge, I believe. I don't think that's not my testimony.
No, it's not. No, I don't know where this came from, who testified in this item. But it's the state.
Mm-hmm.
Charges that the defendant, by waving the handgun at Ms. Harris while telling her to get off his property, engaged in purposeful physical conduct, placing or attempting to place her in fear of imminent bodily injury or physical conduct. So it is, it's in here, you know, mm-hmm. documented. That's why I think it would have been probably important to testify on your own behalf.
That's water under the bridge. I can't change that.
That's correct. No, you can't change anything. We're here to deal with where we're at.
Are there further questions for Mr. Byrd? Go ahead.
Before we let him go. There was, I believe, if I remember correct, there's a pile of paper here, a letter from Count Robin, the county attorney, that said that there was a restraining order against you. Was there, to your knowledge, was there ever a restraining order?
There was never a restraining order against
you,
me.
So that's?
No.
That's incorrect information?
Correct. Incorrect. Correct, incorrect information, yes.
Okay. And just a little side issue here. Do you know if your SIG had a beaver tail? You know what I mean when I say beaver tail?
No, I don't.
Okay. Then we'll just skip it.
Okay. I do know that it has a triple safety, an interior hammer safety, so that you would actually have to squeeze the trigger to make that gunfire.
In the grip?
There's a grip safety.
Yep.
There's an interior safety, and there's also a thumb safety. It's a triple safety on that firearm. Okay. That is why I carried that firearm, because it was so safe.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Byrd, thank you very much. We're going to ask you after the rest of the testimony and give you an opportunity to come back and say some final thoughts or rebut anything else that you've heard.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.